It is good to see you this morning as we celebrate, as we remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. And if you're tired this week, I've got good news. Next Saturday night is fall back, right? So, and it's nice now because your phone does it automatically, right? And so it used to be that people would show up an hour early. And it still can happen occasionally. So if you come next week and we're in the middle of first service, you'll know what happened. So you get an extra hour of sleep. So I know if you're like me, you're looking forward to that, right? John chapter 9, let's pray and ask for God's direction as we look at His Word this morning. Father, we're so grateful for Your goodness and Your love. And we're amazed at the impact that You have in our lives. A God who loves us unconditionally, who gave Your Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins, so we can have the hope of eternal life. Lord, that You are there with us each and every day as we walk through this life. Lord, help us to see Your grace and compassion. And help us to respond with love to You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, says, "Now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When He had said these things, He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And He said to him, 'Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is translated 'sent.' So he went and washed and came back seeing." As I mentioned earlier, the New Testament, the four Gospels, these first four books of the New Testament that record the time of Christ's birth and life and ultimately His death and resurrection, they focus on close encounters with Jesus Christ. Many people whose lives were drastically changed. And we see here in John chapter 9 this blind man. He was blind from birth. But as Jesus was walking along the road, He saw the man, He stopped, and He healed him. Now, if you go back to John chapter 8, you see what's happening immediately before this. In John chapter 8, Jesus is in the temple, and He's having a little disagreement with the religious leaders. And a little disagreement is to put it nicely, because they, when He said and claimed that He was God, they were going to kill Him. But He left the temple. God miraculously kept them from killing Him. And then it says He went out. And we don't know how far along the road this is, but probably fairly close to the temple, because that's where the beggars had a tendency to hang out. You know, as people were going to the temple, or we'd say they're going to church, you know, maybe a little more sensitive, and, oh, here's somebody that needs some help, maybe we can help them. So it was a common place for these people who could only beg for their food and daily needs would be. So Jesus was walking along the way, and He came across this blind man who was begging. And He stops, and the disciples say, oh, this is a good time for a theological discussion. So this man is blind. Who sinned? Did he sin, or did his parents sin? Now, in their system, in the Jewish system, they would say, well, you know, when you do something, something is wrong with you, when you have a disease or sickness or some other thing that's taking place in your life, it must be due to a specific sin. Now, we know that all pain, all disease is because of sin, because of Adam and Eve's sin, and we're all sinners. Death came, and pain and suffering came. But they would say, well, obviously something happened. Either this man's parents did something horrible which caused him to be blind, or he himself did something horrible which caused him to be blind. Now, it's interesting. He was blind from birth. So my mind, that would seem to take him out of the equation, unless maybe it was a think-ahead sin or something like that. But anyway, so they were wondering, well, who's this? And so they wanted to have this theological discussion. Who was the one or ones who sinned to cause this horrible situation of this man being blind? Well, Jesus responded and said, well, neither. This is for people to see what's going to take place today. Now, Jesus performed many miracles that are recorded in the Gospels. And when he performed a miracle, there was a combination of one or more reasons. Obviously, the reason of his love and mercy and grace upon the person to whom he did the miracle or performed the miracle. He also used them as teaching opportunities. And a third reason that he did that, obviously, the caring about the people, he could use as a teaching opportunity, but he demonstrated who he was, that he was the Son of God. And John, all four Gospels share many of his miracles, but John focuses on many of these miracles because the number one objective of the Gospel of John was John was showing that Jesus was the Son of God and that he was God himself taking on human form. And so we see that Jesus performed this miracle. And the man went away to the pool after Jesus had put the clay on his eyes. He went off to the pool, and it says, and he came back seeing. Now, we stop there, but we're going to go through. This is a fairly long narrative throughout this whole chapter. And we're going to continue on as we go through the message this morning and see a little more about some of these different characters in the narrative. So the man comes back. Jesus had gone on. The man comes back, and his neighbors are there. And the neighbors start to have an argument whether this was really this guy or someone that just sort of looked like him. And I mean, it's funny. They're having this argument. Is this really the guy or not? And so they're having that argument. And then the Pharisees come in. And the Pharisees find out that Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath. And so they're starting their investigation. And they investigate by starting by interviewing the man that was born blind but now can see. And the man says, well, it was Jesus that healed me. And so they interview him, and then they go ahead and they interview his parents. And the parents don't have a whole lot more to add, as we'll see in just a little bit. And so then they go and they re-interview the man. And it turns into an argument on whether Jesus was good or evil, healing this man, but doing it on the Sabbath. And then Jesus comes back into the picture near the end of the chapter, and the man recognizes who he is and puts his faith in him and worships him. And the Pharisees are still arguing whether Jesus was God or evil. And so we see the encounter pictured throughout this chapter. But I want us to spend our time this morning looking at some of these individuals or groups of individuals that are characters in the play that we see unfold here in John chapter 9. And it's amazing, some of the ones that you think should be able to see don't. And the one who doesn't see really does. And so let's look at some of these different characters that we find here in the narrative that takes place here in John 9. We see the disciples. The disciples were actually blind in the scene here because they were blinded by the wrong focus. Notice what it said there in verse 2. It says, and his disciples, Jesus' disciples, asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, the disciples did not see the man as someone to whom they could show mercy, but rather a subject for a theological discussion. The disciples were more interested in discussing theology than they were living out God's love. We can be like that sometimes too. Let's talk about it. And so they wanted to have a theological question or discussion while this man had a serious need. But they were blinded by the wrong focus. Then we see the neighbors. And the neighbors were actually blinded by a lack of attention. In verses 8 and 9 here in John chapter 9, it says this, "Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, 'Is not this he who sat and begged?' Some said, 'This is he.' Others said, 'He is like him.' He," the blind man, "said, 'I am he.'" Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I think there's so much humor in Scripture. God has a sense of humor. And to picture this, try to picture this. Here is this guy coming to them. And he's right there. And as he's right there, they're having an argument about who he is. And then finally he steps in. "No, it's me." I mean, can't you picture that? Have you ever talked about someone and then you find out they're standing there? Usually that's pretty uncomfortable. But these guys were sitting there arguing, and then finally he just steps into their argument and say, no, I'm Joe. This is me. Now, I know the Bible doesn't give his name. We don't know that his name's Joe. I just threw that in there, okay? So, but we see this argument, and they were so busy that they missed out on the most important thing. You see, the neighbors did not notice a man that needed their love, but rather an inconvenience they chose to ignore. Because those neighbors, many of them had been around him and his family for years and years. But as time went on, they just chose to ignore him. And their ignoring him had gone to the point where they couldn't even recognize who he was. Because they were busy in their own lives. They'd known him and his family for years, but their busyness had allowed them to ignore him to the point that they had difficulty even identifying him. You see, these neighbors were focused upon their own lives, and they did not notice the struggles and needs of others. The struggles and needs of this man who had been their neighbor for years. Now, what about the parents? Beginning in verse 18. So the Pharisees had, the neighbors, he came back and he could see us. The neighbors were having the argument. And then the Pharisees interviewed the man. And the man said, "Jesus healed me." And so then they went to interview the parents. And this interview is found in verses 18 through 23. It says, "But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight." These were the religious leaders, "until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, 'Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?'" So three basic questions. Is this your son? Question number two, was he born blind? Question three, does he now see? Now, I think question three would be pretty obvious, don't you? But anyway... But then, how does he see? You see, they add that little bit to the question because they're preparing for their trap of Jesus. So it goes on in verse 20, and it says, "And his parents answered them and said, 'We know.'" So here they're starting to answer the three questions. "We know that this is our son." All right, question number one answered. "And that he was born blind." Verse 21, "But by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself." Now we'll stop there. We'll get to the next verses here in just a second. So they're basically saying, yeah, this is our son. Yeah, he was blind. Now he can see now, but we're not going to say why. And in verses 22 and 23, we see their reasoning. So in verse 22, it goes on, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he, Jesus, was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So you get what's going on here? Their son, who had been blind from birth for years and years, could now see. But what were they concerned about? What would these religious leaders think of them? And would they maybe get kicked out of the synagogue, which was the threat? They were blinded by fear. You see, the parents did not see the miracle as something to be proclaimed, but rather a dangerous trap to be avoided. And here is the key. The parents allowed the fear of being rejected to cloud over the opportunity to testify to the power of God. They were more concerned about what people would think than they were excited about what God had done. And they were his parents. They had watched him struggle with blindness for years. But they were so focused upon what these Jewish leaders would think and the consequences of saying, yes, Jesus healed him, that they were so afraid they wouldn't even say what really happened. And what about the Pharisees? The Pharisees were blinded by self-righteousness. Verse 24, so after they had interviewed him, now they interviewed the parents, now 24, they're interviewing him again. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God his glory. We know that this man, they're speaking of Jesus, is a sinner. You see, the Pharisees did not see the man as a person miraculously healed, but rather a piece of evidence to prosecute Jesus. And they were excited. They had caught Jesus breaking the law because he healed on the Sabbath day. And healing is work. So therefore, he worked on the Sabbath day, which went against their tradition, against their Jewish law system. And so they say, aha. And it's interesting as they introduce it, it starts out by saying, give God his glory. What's that mean? Well, actually, is what they would do, in a sense, it was you're saying, I am going to tell the truth. It was giving an oath, in a sense. When you're in a court of law, you know, do you so promise? Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. Okay, so listen, young man. This is on the record. And we know that this Jesus is evil. So go ahead and tell your story. They were threatening him. And they were so consumed by their self-righteousness and their opportunity to attack and to defeat Jesus that they bypassed the incredible miracle that had taken place. Their laws had become a set of traditions that they used to attempt to look good rather than a set of guidelines in order to be good. There were 39 separate works that were forbidden on the Sabbath. They had hundreds of laws, but 39 specific works that were forbidden on the Sabbath, and most of them had subcategories. I mean, some of these are ridiculous. They could not cut their fingernails on the Sabbath because that was work. I looked at a few of these and some resources. Just fascinating. We can go on and on, but I'll share just a couple more. They could not wear sandals that had nails because in wearing a sandal that had a nail, every time you lift your foot, you would be lifting up that nail that was part holding the sandal together, and that would be like bearing a burden. Now, they could wear sandals that were woven with no nails because then they wouldn't be lifting nails, so they wouldn't be bearing a burden, so they'd be okay. I mean, ridiculous. They had another one that the only medical treatment that could be given was if the case was life-threatening. So only in a life-threatening situation could you seek medical treatment, and that treatment could be given only if it was to save the life, not to make the person better. Now, Jesus really messed up, because he worked in making the clay. You remember back there in verses 6 and 7, he spit on the ground, took that moisture there with the dust and made it into clay and stuck it on the man's eyes. That's work. And the man did not have a life-threatening problem. He'd been blind for years. He wasn't going to die that day because of his blindness. So therefore, Jesus was performing a medical treatment that wasn't in a life or death situation, so he was breaking the Sabbath law there also. So obviously, in their mind, Jesus was evil. These religious leaders, these Pharisees, had no concern or compassion for the blind man, but were excited about looking good themselves and making Jesus look bad. They weren't concerned about the miraculous work of God. But what about the blind man? The blind man, the one who wasn't supposed to see, was the only one other than Jesus in this whole narrative that really saw clearly. And notice the blind man. The blind man had a clear vision of God. He was the recipient of two miracles in our story this morning. First of all, the restoration of his eyesight. And secondly, the recognition of his Savior. His life was changed, as well as his eternal destination. He was falsely accused, he was belittled, he was threatened, but he was the one who saw the whole picture. It's fascinating to see the progression of his understanding of God in the story. And you see it in four verses. You see as it goes through, his vision becomes clearer and clearer and clearer of who Jesus was. First of all, in verse 11, when the Pharisees were first asking him, you know, who healed you? And he said, well, the man's name was Jesus. But then in verse 17, when he's pressed a little more, he says Jesus was a prophet. And then in verse 33, that Jesus was from God. And he was having an argument with the Pharisees, because the Pharisees said, well, obviously, this man's a bad man. I mean, he's doing all this work on the Sabbath. He claims to be God. And it's great because the Pharisees ask him a question. And they say, you know, we don't know, the Pharisees in the little background speech, that we don't know where this man comes from, and you know, on and on, trying to show that there's some holes in this Jesus story. And the man responds, and I love his response. He says, yeah, I don't know where he's from either, but this one thing I know. I was blind, and now I can see. You can argue about what town he's from, but I know this one thing. I was blind, but now I can see. And so he says that, and so then in verse 33, he says that Jesus was from God, and it goes on in verse 38, and he concludes the whole situation by saying that Jesus was worthy of worship. That Jesus was God and he was going to worship his Savior Jesus Christ. And so the whole thing stops as the man worships his Savior. The one who healed him physically and the one who healed him spiritually. The one who helped him in his day-to-day life and the one who gave him a new eternal destination. And the last verses of the chapter, the Pharisees are still arguing. And Jesus comes back and they say, and the man worships him there in verse 38 after Jesus came back. And then the Pharisees say, so now, Jesus, do you think we're blind? they still don't get it. Physically, they could see, but spiritually, they were blind. And then, what about Jesus? The first and last character in our story. Jesus had a clear vision of everything. Jesus saw the man while others had passed by and didn't notice. The man had been begging for years, and many who lived in the area would pass by without ever noticing him. But Jesus, in just his walk, stopped and saw. This amazing story began because Jesus noticed in the ordinary course of a day. And I want you to think about this. You know, it's amazing. In Psalm 139, the psalmist says, God, you see me, you know me. You have known me from my time in the womb. The priestly blessing that's given in Numbers, shine your face upon me. Or shine your face upon them, as the priest was blessing. God noticed. Jesus noticed. You know, I think sometimes in our lives, we're going to wait for the big spotlight. And say, when the spotlight comes, Jesus, I'll... But you know what? In this story, Jesus wasn't feeding 5,000. He wasn't teaching on the mountain. He wasn't teaching in the synagogue. He was just walking down the road. And I think so many times we miss opportunities because we're so busy just going to our next place and say, okay, God, when the time comes, and we pass up opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, waiting for the time to come. But it's amazing there in verse 1, it says, and Jesus saw. And then he stopped. And then he served. Jesus saw everything. If you read through the Gospels, notice how many times it says, and Jesus saw. Or Jesus noticed. Or Jesus stopped to reach out to this person or people. He saw the needs of the man, that the man had, both physical and spiritual. The Gospels are filled with examples of Jesus seeing, Jesus noticing, Jesus stopping. He saw Zacchaeus when he had climbed up in the tree. He saw the widow who had given everything she had there into the offering there by the temple. He saw the hungry. He saw the hurting. He saw the needing. He knew who they were and what they needed. And he reached out in love. Jesus also saw the blindness of the others in the story, the blindness of his disciples in asking the foolish question, the blindness of the neighbors and not even recognizing their neighbor who had such a great need, the blindness of the Pharisees who were so focused upon themselves and their self-righteousness that they missed seeing God at work, and they missed the opportunity to rejoice with others. The blindness of the Pharisees, of the parents, who were so consumed by fear of people that they did not recognize and rejoice in the power of God. Jesus saw everything. But now, as we close this morning, the question is, what about me? Now, you've all probably, like me, gone to the eye doctor to do that test, right? And you know, the wall, and I thought maybe just putting a big eye chart on the wall, but I didn't do that. But, you know, you usually do all right with the first and second line, but then it gets a little tougher. I think oftentimes in our spiritual walk, we even miss out on those first lines because we're so busy we're not paying attention. And God is dropping opportunity after opportunity in front of us where we can love on others as we serve Him. So the challenge this week is to take a spiritual eye exam, to check our vision. And we can ask these questions. Am I like the disciples, not focused upon what's most important? Am I like the neighbors, too busy to notice? Am I like the parents, too afraid of men to follow God? Am I like the Pharisees, trusting my own abilities and striving to look good? Am I like the blind man, recognizing God and His work in my life? Am I like Jesus, striving to have His eyes to see and His heart to serve? How am I doing on my spiritual checkup? You know, it's a play on words, because the blind man was really the only one who saw. The disciples, the neighbors, the parents, the Pharisees, they all had blind spots. But the blind man saw. And the challenge for us is to respond to Jesus like the blind man, to trust Him, to worship Him, and to serve Him as we serve others. That is the challenge. And the close encounter that this blind man had changed his life as well as changed his destiny. And we are called to be like the blind man. And we must be the blind man in order to see. Let's pray. Father, thanks for Your goodness and Your love. And Lord, as we see Your power demonstrated in this story, may we respond to Your grace and Your power by willingness to serve You and to reach out to others. We're so grateful for Your blessing, Your faithfulness in our lives. I pray that we would be faithful in serving You. And Lord, may we be known as people that have Your eyes to see and Your heart to serve. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.